Welcome to Street Talk, a public affairs presentation of Cumulus Media, aired on our Cumulus stations in Syracuse. Street Talk is a weekly show, keeping you in touch with the individuals and organizations that work for and serve our community. We're your hosts, Ted and Amy. Businesses have had to adapt more than ever to the new normal since this whole pandemic began. Ralph Simone is founder and partner for Emergent, a local leadership and development company that helps leaders, teams, and organizations maximize their full potential. But can you find inspiration in a fortune cookie message? Ralph talks about fortune cookie leadership in one of his latest podcasts and explains more here.
Well, I would say that we influence people to become more aware of how they can lead their organizations and their teams more effectively. And so our primary focus is around leadership development, but really working with leaders to become more conscious of how they think and act, and how that thinking and acting impacts the performance and culture of the organizations in which they lead.
And when you talk leaders, I mean, it's not just those that are running a company. It's those that really have any kind of management position. Or how do you describe a leader, I guess?
So we actually describe it differently than many. We think everybody's a leader, everybody in the organization, regardless of title. And the only question is how well are you leading? And so we would work at all levels of the organization. We certainly do concentrate some of our initial efforts at the top just because of the leverage and the impact that the top leadership has on the performance and the culture and the structure of an organization. But we absolutely firmly believe that everyone's a leader. You can influence outcomes that matter from any seat. And so the only question is how well are we leading?
You know, I came across a really interesting question that one of our listeners had posed, and they were still working from home, but their company is now hybrid, you know, so some are choosing to work from home still, some are back in. And she felt as though she had not gotten a promotion because of that, because she was still not as visible as some of her other coworkers. And I thought that that was a really interesting question to pose to you, because you must be working with a lot of hybrid companies.
We are. And unfortunately, I think what she experienced could be a consequence of not being visible. I mean, there was an interesting controversy around the NFL draft, which happened in April. And the question was, what would happen to the players that chose to sit out last fall because of COVID or whatever? And what impact would it have on them in the draft? And I was watching part of the interruption. They said, it will probably impact them because their latest body of work was a year ago. That's the last time they were observed. So I think there are some consequences for not being visible in the organization. And I think that will come with the hybrid model. And so if you are going to be working more from home for safety or for other reasons, you know, how do you get yourself visible? I think you have to be extremely intentional about it, but that could be a natural consequence of not being in the space.
And also, it seems like even hybrid would be tougher for those who are leading in any position, because you're trying to treat everyone equally and trying to be as effective both in the office and at home. And so that must be even more difficult than when they were 100% at home.
Oh, absolutely. And it requires a great level of agility. And I think that's one part of the work that we do with leaders, is just to recognize whatever your bias is and recognize how more agile you need to be successful in this new ever-evolving model. I mean, people would love a prescription. I mean, we're thinking about hosting a large event maybe later this summer around doing hybrid right. But that very statement implies that there is only one way to do it. There's not, right? There's reasons that we want people back to the physical space. And I think previously we talked about the accidental collisions, the creativity, the innovation. But there are some things that can be done really effectively and with high levels of focus and concentration at home. And does your organization have the nimbleness and flexibility to deal with, right, time and space right? When does it have to be done? Where can it be done from? And how do we maximize the impact on performance from where we do it, right? So I think all of those things, it's not a clean, easy answer. And I think that's why leaders have to become more and more agile, more and more conscious, more and more aware of their predisposition to a particular bias that may or may not work. I think, though, that the gate swings both ways. If there's going to be flexibility in the hybrid, there will be certain times when you will need people physically in the space, right? And I think those are the conversations that people have to have.
I mean, you work with a lot of different businesses. Have you noticed a separation between, let's say, someone who works at a radio station, someone that's extremely, well, hopefully social or just always has different people to bounce ideas off of, as compared to someone who works in IT? And so everybody comes in and works at a desk and doesn't necessarily have to interact with a lot of their coworkers. Is there a difference or no?
I think there is a difference, and I think there are some jobs that are well suited to be done remotely, and then periodically you would need to come in. I mean, I was talking to a young person the other day who has a 55-minute commute in and out, and they have been tremendously more productive working from home based on the nature of their work, you know, which tends to be a little more independent than interdependent. And I think that's wonderful that the organization is working with that, right? So one size doesn't fit all, and I think we have to be really, really flexible with the dynamic nature of this situation. Because some jobs there, you can do very well remotely and then maybe just come in when there is a collaborative event where your voice is needed. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your podcast, because you had a very interesting one recently, and we're going to talk about that. But tell me more about your podcast.
Well, we're continuing to be excited about, getting our message out there with frequency, but also getting it out to a larger audience. You know, our podcast deal with anything from leadership development to team development to having the missing or tough conversations. They're probably the thing that is the most fun for us to do. And with the last one being by far the most fun I've had in years doing anything, actually. We had a blast, and that was the one on fortune cookie leadership.
All right, you got to tell us more about that.
Well, I fancy myself, whether it's correct or not, as an idea man, an idea guy. And so this is when both kids were home, maybe during the holiday break, and we had Chinese takeout. And at the end, I'm looking at the fortune cookie, I open it up and I read my fortune, and I announce, boy, wouldn't this be a great podcast? Wouldn't this, reading the short one-liner from the fortune cookie and connecting it to some leadership development concept. And both my kids, so my daughter rolls her eyes like, oh my God, is this guy for real? And my son, kind of a little false support, says, oh Dad, you can do anything, right? And but I was in love with the idea, regardless of their reaction. Sold it to my partner, Cindy. She was excited about it. And then sold it to the rest of the team. And it was something I really couldn't wait to do it, right? And it really required a lot of adaptability, because you can get some, I actually have three cookies out here in case you want to try it. But, when you open them up randomly, unrehearsed, you got to really be quick on your feet to connect the dots in some cases.
Well, of course I want to try it. Yes, let's do it.
Well, let's do it. All right. Now, okay. Let me see if I can open up one up one-handed. Oh, can you hear that?
I can. It was very authentic. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And now I see if I can break it without making a mess on my table. Not so much there. Oh, not bad. That one must be so stale it didn't break up too much. All right. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
What we did is we would read the statement, and maybe you need to participate too, because if I get stuck, and then we connect it to some leadership concept.
Okay.
Ready for this?
I don't know if I'm ready, but I'm trying. Okay, here we go.
All right. You have a potential urge and the ability for accomplishment. Let me read it again.
I'm hoping you give me some guidance here. I mean, it sounds like it's very inspirational. I'm getting some inspiration from there.
I think you're spot on with that. In fact, I think every single employee leader has the potential for greatness only if they will allow space for it to bubble up. I mean, I read a quote recently. I can't attribute it, but it said, stop talking, stop thinking. And then it's really get quiet and create the space for the word you used, inspiration. And I think one of the things is, we believe in four mindsets in our coaching practice, possibility mindset, that anything is possible. It's possible in the world, it's possible for you. And in growth mindset, we're always learning and developing. Nelson Mandela said that, right, you either win or learn. And so the growth mindset is focused on learning. And then curiosity, being curious about what you can accomplish, channeling your inner four-year-old. And then the last thing is the responsibility mindset, taking the responsibility to step into your greatness. So that's what I think about. But I think you hit it right on the head. Inspiration. When we get quiet, we create the space for inspiration. Perfect.
Man, that's good. Although you were much better at describing it than I was, but I like, okay, we have time for one more, so let's do this.
One more. All right. I try not to eat them. Particularly while talking on the radio. This one is becoming a little elusive. All right, here we go. Let me see if I can get it right side up. Oh, well done is better than well said.
Oh, man, that's a deep one. Although for radio, I'm not sure that works because I think I kind of have to be both.
Wow, that's great. It is both and, right? Why not well done and well said? Because if you're trying to influence people, not only do you have to do it well, they have to be inspired and clear with the communication. So I think you've hit it on the head again.
If you need another partner, I'm right up
there.
Let me
tell you, we might be looking for one because, this is how good you are. The highest level of leadership, they call integral leadership, both and, not either or thinking. And oftentimes, it's like hybrid, either are we in or are we out? Well, we need to be both. And so I think you've got it. We need to be well done as well as well said. Both are important in organizational performance. Spot on.
You must be very fun at a Chinese restaurant is all I'm telling you. No matter
I think I'm fun everywhere, but I certainly am fun. In a Chinese restaurant. Now, we're not going to do a 360 assessment, particularly with my family, because they may have a different perspective from time to time.
Well, I always credit you with giving, because I use this now too, is that you always say you can talk for 30 seconds on any topic that is given to you. And I have credited you, but I have tried that myself many times.
Yeah, and some people feel that I've overstated that, but I think it's true. I think it's true. I think I can hang in there with anybody for at least 30 seconds.
Yeah, you may not be accurate. Like, at least I'm not, but at least I can talk for 30 seconds. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about accuracy. We're just talking about...
Well, if people want to see your podcast, or rather hear your podcast, where can they find it?
So you can find it, I guess, almost anywhere. I mean, I go to our website, getemergent.com, to find it, and it has all the past episodes. But I think you can go to iTunes, Apple. I think it's all over the place. So, but if you're having any trouble finding it there, go to getemergent.com, and there's some other things that you might find interesting as well.
For more information, see getemergent.com. Well, as more and more people get out on the area waterways, boater safety is more important than ever. Dave White is the recreation and tourism specialist with the New York Sea Grant.
Our waterways are becoming busier, which is a wonderful thing because we're welcoming more and more people to the family of boating. I just saw a recent statistic, depending on where you are in the country, boat sales were up 10 to 20% last year. I was actually on a national website 2 days ago looking at some product, and the first thing that popped up, it said, we do not have kayaks available. We hope to have them available within the next month. If that's how much product has gone off the shelf and how many new families and friends we have now as part of our boating community. So, you know, making sure that they're taking a boat safety class, making sure they're looking at, you know, the type of vessel that they're on. And, you know, a vessel is anything you can ride on or in, and that's where the whole paddleboard and the kayak become a part of it. You know, and just having not only the safety gear, but, you know, the operational, how does it work? How can I be a good boater? How can I become part of this family out on the water?
And as you're a new boater, you really have to be aware of the new boating laws and regulations. Now, we have a law called the ECOS law. Is that how you say that?
It is. It's the ECOS law. It's the emergency cutoff switch. It's basically the kill switch on a boat. And a lot of boats are designed with them on it. Most recently, all boats since 2020 have to have it on it. But a lot of boats, all personal watercrafts and jet skis have it. And the new law that went into effect is if you have one installed on your boat, you have to use it. Because a lot of folks just ignored it. They didn't attach it to themselves. And what it's designed to do is when you're on plane is if the captain falls overboard, the engine immediately stops. And what that really does, it protects the captain when they fall overboard to make sure the boat won't run over them or they get hit by the propeller, but also protects everybody else on board that they're not on a boat that's now out of control. So it's just, it's a little strap, like a little bungee. You can hook it to your life jacket, your, you know, bathing suit, your shorts, whatever you're wearing, so that if you do fall overboard, if you hit a big wave, you hit a big wake that you weren't aware of, you saw coming, the engine will stop. So that's the part of the new law that just went into effect for power boats under 26 feet is you have to have it attached to you. Just another one of those good safety things, making sure that you're well prepared, you know, to keep it fun on the water. And it's fun for everybody as well, because, you know, if something happens to you and your boat is now out of control on the body of water, you don't know what damage that's going to do not only to the people on board but other boats in the area.
Now, these are for boats that have it installed, but if you have an older boat, then you don't have to install anything?
You know, that's a great question, and I've asked that question for over a month to make sure I got clarification for folks, because I have a boat from 1987. It's an inboard outboard power boat. It does not have one on it. And so I was asking that very specific question, so thank you for asking it, and the answer to that is no. If you don't have one on board, you don't have to go out and spend the money to have one installed. This is really for those that already are installed on board. Definitely all personal watercraft or most of them have it on it, you know, and now many more power boats as well. But great question. Thank you for asking, because I was asking that very same question of a lot of people to get good interpretation of it.
Now let's talk about Brianna's Law as well, because that's another, you know, rule to keep in mind this summer.
It is, and, you know, to remind folks that Brianna's Law is, it ratchets up by age, and by 2025, everybody that operates a motorboat in the state of New York has to have taken the boat safety class and gotten their certification. And I always remind people, if you put an electric motor on a kayak or a canoe or a small boat, it's a power boat. So you actually change a paddleboard or a sailboat into a power boat by putting an engine on it. And once you do that, you also need the certification. But it's just great for everybody. I mean, as paddleboard is becoming more popular and people are going through locks with them, you know, and they're out on every type of body of water, you know, everybody taking the course is just a wonderful thing, because everybody will be safer. Everybody will be more comfortable on the water. And as I always remind people, you know, the upside as well is, you know, if you do have a power boat and you've got, you know, insurance on it, many insurance companies will give you a discount if you've taken the class. So there's actual a financial opportunity to get out of it as well. So make sure you check with your insurance company once you do take the class, because you could actually save money on your insurance.
Dave, run down all the things that people have to have on their boats, including, I mean, obviously the proper amount of life jackets, but the other things that really, should you get stopped on the waterways, they're going to check for.
Absolutely. And the course teaches you that. You can also go on New York State Parks website, and it will. You can download or look at the state boating guide. And in the state boating guide, it will list all of the required and recommended equipment by boat size, because it is a little different. The larger boat you have, the more equipment you need to have on board. But, you know, the baseline is life jacket for everybody under 12 have to wear it, U.S. Coast Guard approved. You have to have a sound producing device, be it a horn, a whistle, you have to have some kind of sound-producing device, and that is for all boats, paddle craft on up through. Then when you get into motorized boats, you've got to have flares. They have to be current because flares go out of date. And I've done a lot of demos where I've used out-of-date flares, and they don't work. So, you know, making sure that they're current, you know, your fire extinguisher on board, making sure it's charged, you know, hitting a little knob to make sure, doing a little test with it to make sure it's a charged fire extinguisher, you know, in some cases having the anchor on board, enough rope, you know, so you really begin to get all of these, you know, recommended and required pieces of equipment. I always loop back around. Make sure you've got the life jackets on board. Make sure the kids under 12 are wearing them. Make sure if you're pulling anybody behind the boat, they have them on as well. I've seen a lot of folks that, you know, are not realizing that if you're being pulled behind the boat on skis, you know, and I just dated myself saying water skis, because boy, we don't see that much anymore, tubes, you know, knee boards, they have to have a life jacket on as well.
Oh, I didn't realize skis were not in anymore, huh?
Oh, I when I'm over at, you know, the cottage watching, you know, I'm seeing people ride on everything, you know, and when I see somebody out there doing a slalom on a ski, it's like, wow, that's bringing back the old days. And, you know, my wife and I, we make sure we ski at least once a year. My wife's grandfather skied until he was 75. So she told me that's our goal, that we're going to make sure we water ski every summer at least once until we're 75 to, you know, keep us out there and keep us on top and on plane, as they say. So, yeah, you know, the skis, you know, we see them coming back a little bit, but you know, for a lot of people, it's you know if you were a skier back in the day, you know, it took a little skill. It doesn't take a lot of skill to ride on a tube, so it's sometimes easier just to pop out on and go. But I'm still a skier, and haven't done one ski in a while, but you know, and I'm from the day where all you wore was a ski belt. And those are the days gone by, and you know, now you got to have a life jacket on whenever you're being pulled behind the boat, and I certainly do as well.
Just a couple more questions. I know last year, tragically, around this time, there was a carbon monoxide poisoning that was on one of the boats in the area. And especially this time of year, right, because you may be needing the heat as part of if you're staying on the boat. Talk a little bit about that just to make sure that all your equipment is working correctly.
Absolutely. And that's where, as you get into different size boats or you're using the vessel for different purposes, you really need to be thinking about the kind of safety gear you need to have and making sure it all works. In some cases, you do have a heater on a boat, you know, built right in, or an air conditioner. So, you know, having, you know, smoke alarms on some vessels, having carbon monoxide detectors on vessels becomes critically important. Making sure you've read the manufacturer and the boat manual as to how do you operate them, you know, as to, you know, what times of day, if there's requirements, or, you know, ventilation that you need to have. You know, I'm also seeing a lot of boats with grills on them, which is great. I mean, pontoon boats, you can go out and buy a nice gas grill or a charcoal grill to have right attached to the boat. Again, you've now added something that's a little different to boating, so make sure you're really doing that in a, you know, safe way when you're setting it up, so that when you're out on the water and you're having that great cookout, you know, your propane tank for your grill, you know, or where your grill is located is in a safe location on the boat, or you've got the boat positioned well to make sure, you know, you're not having smoke come into the cabin. So it's all those kind of things that as we, you know, as we turn our boats into much more than they used to be in many cases, you really need to think about that you've changed the use of that boat, and you want to make sure that you're thinking through all of the safety precautions you might want to have, all of the detectors you want to have on board, making sure you're storing propane tanks if you have them on board correctly. So it's just those additional steps when you've now taken your boat and turned it into a restaurant kind of thing that we need to be thinking about. And, you know, those are just good thoughts to have. And, you know, 15 minutes of prep before you go out, checking the trailer, you know, checking the tires, you know, checking the tongue, checking the electronics. Those become critically important because also every year we hear about, you know, trailers coming unhooked, or, you know, the electronics not working, and, you know, your brake lights not working. So all of those things become critically important as we prep for it. And that's all of the stuff we talk about during National Safe Boating Week. And to me, Safe Boating Week is all about let's be safe to make sure we're having fun out on the water, because that's what it's about.
And what would be the first steps, do you say, if people are thinking about buying a boat? I mean, whether it be an inflatable kayak or a pontoon boat, you know, what would be the first steps to deciding what you want to get?
The best thing you want to do as a family is to sit down and say, if you were to buy a boat, what do you want to use it for? and make the list, because that will then head you in the direction. Because you might have somebody say, well, I want to fish. Okay, we want to have a boat that we can fish off. Well, I want to ski or tube. We need that boat. Well, I want to be able to go to the bathroom on it. Okay, we need a boat that would have a porta potty. You know, well, I want to be able to sleep on the boat. Okay, we need a cabin or maybe a pontoon boat that's got an enclosure in it. So as you begin to think about all the things you're going to want to use the boat for, and a lot of people keep their boats for 5 or 10 years. So it's, you know, is the family going to grow? You know, so if right now we're just a young couple thinking of getting a boat, are we thinking about having kids in a couple of years? So do we want to take that into account? So kind of do the inventory, and that will begin to lead you. And then, you know, go to one of your local great, you know, marine dealers here in upstate New York with our Boating Industry Association friends and sit down with them and say, here's the kind of things we want to do on our boat. What do you have available? You know, we're thinking pontoon, or we're thinking, you know, a nice 21-foot cuddy cabin. They'll begin to help you to say, well, here's a boat you can do all of those things on, because that's really what you're going to want to be able to do, is provide each member of the family the opportunity to have fun, to do the things they want to do, because all of a sudden you get out there and you've bought a boat and it's like, wow, I wish I had thought about. So really thinking about, what do you want to do with it? And it's no different than, you know, when you're buying a house, buying a camper, you know, and those kind of things. What do you want to use it for? And that's going to lead you to the path of the dealer you want to go to start that conversation.
Find out more at nycgrant.org. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Street Talk. If you have an issue to discuss, or an event or nonprofit organization to promote, or to find out more information about something you've heard on this or past week's programs, email amy.robbins@cumulus.com. For events, allow 2 weeks in advance. Street Talk has been a public affairs presentation of Cumulus Media. We're Ted and Amy. Thank you for joining us each week here on Street Talk.